Financial Matters.
Dr. Frank Mukwege, Head of Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank, and also a Gibbs faculty member, joins me now. Prof.
Doc, how are you this evening?
I've been promoted. I'll take it. Thank you.
Somebody was saying to me that man must get on with it now. He must get his profession. So I'm sowing the seed. I'm sowing the seed where you are now going to be held accountable.
Yes.
To that particular aspiration.
Yes.
We need to see
a
Professor Frank Mukwege in the not too distant future. What do you think of the budget today?
Quite interesting. Good evening, Abra Aubrey. Good evening to our 702 and Cape Talk listeners. And as you know, we spoke about it last week, the awaited date in the calendar to hear the Minister of Finance talking to us about hashtag RSA Budget 2023. That's the material that was coming from the National Treasury. And it does appear that it has landed well in terms of how economists and, you know, business people are commenting on the budget, to say there was that prudence that was required. There was a realization of slow economic growth, and just that the monies, they are limited.
Yeah.
So what is there, you know, has to be used wisely. And so I thought, you know, with the background of the budget, Bra Aubrey, we can talk a little bit about some of the key points that came out of the budget. And really the point is to use these ideas to remind our listeners that whilst the numbers are huge, 360 billion interest payment per year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a mind-boggling number. But we can look at our own households. We have our own budget. So it's a bit of a teachable moment for us to remind us, even a government has a line that says money coming in, it's called income. Money going out is called expenses. When I am spending more than I'm earning, I go and borrow. That's exactly what the minister was talking about.
I think it's at a level of principle, Doc. We do need to have a greater consciousness amongst the people of this country of what it means to manage finances.
Absolutely.
Because my sense sometimes is that we get caught up in the idea that money is going to come in and we must spend it.
Correct. Yes.
And that there is no responsibility for the management of that process, of that coming in and going out of finance.
Absolutely. You know, I was doing training over the other day for our support staff at Gibbs. So our receptionist, our security, because a lot of them are quite entrepreneurial. And so we're doing a finance session, and I was trying to drive home the point that when you are running your own business on the side, you've got two forms of income. You've got the one they earn at Gibbs, and they've got the one for the side gig or the side hustle.
Yeah.
And then I made an example to say, for example, the government primarily has one way of getting money, and that money is through VAT, personal tax, income tax. You must have seen this about maybe 30 people.
Yeah.
And then they say, "What do you mean?" I said, "The government doesn't make money. It's our money we give them through tax, and then they spend it on projects." And then they've never realized that. And one of the gentlemen commented that, so are you saying...
Which is part of the hole that the party political space has on most South Africans.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah.
And he commented that, so are you saying if I don't pay tax, on one hand, I'm actually depriving my community of development?
Yeah.
Because that clinic, that road needs money, and that money partly comes from you in terms of tax. So I think a budget is really an opportunity for us to reflect, not only at a country level, but just to bring it home to say, it doesn't matter how big you are. You have the basic principle of there's money coming in, there's money going out. If those two don't balance, you are going to go and get a loan. And that's exactly what we saw. So to give you an idea, Bra Aubrey, so 2023-24, so this new government financial year, the government tells us, our SA government, it says, I am going to get the following amounts of money. 1.8 trillion through taxes. That's my main source of revenue. all these amazing projects that I run as the government, it's because people have paid and then they break it down. Personal income tax, 640 billion. VAT, value added tax, 472 billion.
That's the income.
That's the income coming in. Corporate income tax, 336 billion. Customs exercise duties, 140 billion. Then there's fuel levy and small. All those add up to 1.8 trillion.
Mm.
Then they say to us, but wait a minute. My programs, what I need to spend money on, is more than this 1.8 trillion coming in. Mm. They already tell us in advance. I am going to borrow 284 billion because I am spending, I project to spend more than I'm earning.
Yeah.
And remember, we always grew up with Abu Koko telling us, when you start working, Tanam, please just do one thing. Spend less than you earn. There we see it at the government level. And we can really translate it back home and just say, it's important for me to know what's coming in and what's good. That's the fundamental principle of driving your financial wellness. Take stock of current reality. So we sit with a government that's saying to us, every year, I am paying 360 billion in interest because of the debt that I have. I'm covering this gap. This money from taxes primarily, it's not enough to deliver on my project. So I go and borrow from the IMF, from the World Bank, for example. I issue government bonds. So that remind, don't we do it, Bra Aubrey?
Sure.
It's not adding up for the Makweka household. What do? I go and get a personal loan. You have too much of personal loans. What happens? You having your net pay not being adequate to meet your needs because the credit providers want their piece. So it's exactly.
So you must go and moonlight somewhere.
And then you go and moonlight, you have to have a side gig. So really the starting point is, listeners, don't be too threatened or it's way above my head to think of 1.8 trillion. It's just telling us the amount of money coming in. The government is spending more than that, therefore they need to go and borrow.
So give us a call.
In your household.
Yeah, give us a call. So sometimes it's not just a matter of I'm poor.
Yes.
Which is a valid, observation about one's economies, right? But it's also how you manage what you get.
The choices you're making, Bra Aubrey.
Precisely. So,
100%.
So sure, it's very simple. We can say, no, but we are poor.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with that assessment.
Yes.
But sometimes we need to take it a little bit further and say, sure, but what can I do with what I have?
Correct.
In order for me to get out of that cycle, of that space.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what South Africa needs to do now.
Yes.
South Africa needs to say, yes, we are in a very difficult financial state. We are poor.
Yeah, exactly.
But what can we do with what we have at the moment? And that is, at some level, a responsibility that South Africa needs to take.
And those are some of the tough choices. For example, just quickly looking at my notes here, that's part of what the government is saying, right? They are saying, wait a minute, one of the lines that's huge in my expenses, when I collect this money, my revenue, is the public sector wage bill.
Yeah.
They have drawn a line in the sand. We can only afford to increase it by 3.3%. And you know, the unions are toying, they are not accepting that. But those are some of the hard choices you need to make in your own household. It doesn't matter whether you qualifying yourself as poor or as, you know, a little bit okay or very okay. There are choices you need to make. So the government, for example, one choice is, hey, when I look at my public sector wage bill, I am only able to give you an increase of 3.3. That's a choice. Then they've got other choices, but over the tail.
So let me see. I want to move with you and see if I can see certain parallels at a personal level.
Correct. Let's do that.
So I have 2-3 children.
Yes.
And one or two of them are now going over into tertiary education. Yeah. My income is not covering my expenses.
Yeah.
My children are used to getting some pocket money when they go to school.
Correct.
They're used to getting 50 rand.
Yeah.
Now they must get 25 rand.
Things are tough.
Because things are tough.
Yes.
And my university-going daughter or son
must now think about finding a job as a waiter or to go cut somebody's grass or wash somebody's car in order to supplement their income.
Absolutely.
We are now at that place.
Those are the choices we're talking about.
Where we used to be able to go to Wimpy.
Yeah.
But now we can't go to Wimpy anymore.
Maybe it's every second month now, not monthly.
Yeah, maybe every second month now. And we may have to do other things in order for us to... So my son, under these conditions, may be disappointed to find out that as much as I would like to...
I can't
give him money for Wimpy and to go to these places. And he might have to find a job.
And that is the discussion that must take place. The government is saying, let's talk public sector, unions, this is what I can only afford. That would be a discussion that you'd... In fact, I had a discussion similar to that with my daughter.
Yeah.
So my youngest daughter, she's like Bracrisia. She loves the fancy...
Nice
techies. Techies in particular.
Yeah.
She shows me this almost 4,000 that she wanted to buy.
4,000?
4,000, yeah.
Techies.
Second year, advanced, I must look nice. Wara, wara, wara.
4,000?
Yes, practice. No, tickets are expensive. Hey, bro, you like me. 8.99.
4,000?
Yes. No.
You can, 8.99. I won't even go to 8.99.
I'm 8.99.
No, I won't go to 8.99.
This is laughing.
Go to Maraba Stud. So get nice things for 200 rand.
I said to you, no. Part of your pocket money, you need to contribute the majority of this. You want to spend your money on 4,000 for shoes. That's okay. I will only be able to contribute teeny weeny towards it. Those are the discussions that need to take place, right? Or maybe we've got various forms of entertainment. We say, maybe we need to cut back. And I think often what happens in the household, generally, and this is a common thing we see in research, families don't often sit and discuss money coming in and money going. It's quite a taboo topic for many families. And therefore, the child doesn't understand the reality that you have just... So they just think the dad is being funny. Why can't we eat out as often as we did? Why can't I have this pair of shoes? Why can't I upgrade?
Doesn't he understand that I'm at university and we must look nice?
But you are not mentioning you as the pair. Yes, quite right, bro. Yes. I need to look nice. So they don't understand why you are saying you can't. Because money continues to be such a big taboo. And we need to break that cycle of not talking. And I'm not suggesting telling your kids exactly how much you earn. But kind of giving them a sense that, you know, we've got a bond. Roughly, this is what we pay. We've got these two cars. We finance them. This is roughly. You know, when we do our grocery shopping, this is roughly. Therefore, this is our water and lights. Because that's what the government of South Africa is doing. They are telling us, of this 1.8 trillion, they are telling us social development will consume 380 billion. We spoke about the number. Servicing our debt, 360 billion. Basic education, 310 billion, right? Economic development, 238 billion. Peace and security, 228. So these lines are exactly groceries, transport, food, entertainment for a household. So if a government has to do it, Bra Obri, how can you run a household and you think you can be financially well without doing it?
I suppose, Dr. Frank, though, that there might be that sprightly little teenager in the house.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Who says, yeah, Dad, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
It's bar. It's okay. I hear you. Hey, fiscal, this, what.
Yeah.
But we saw you. You like your brandy.
Yeah, correct.
Every Friday you buy your brandy.
So they're looking at your expenditure as the parent, correct.
You like to buy your brandy, and we know that you like to visit Konka with that friend of yours.
And then you are depriving us.
And when you go to Konka... Yeah. With your friend, you do it very, very, very quietly. But we know, we've heard stories about how you buy nice things there at Konka and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So my sense is that the South African economy has those teenagers too who
Absolutely.
Say,
yes.
Sure, we hear the principal when Minister Kotongwane, but we see how you guys don't pay for this, and you have this car, and you...
Absolutely. Just look at the cars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they say you sometimes don't walk the... Is it walk the talk,
you don't walk the talk.
Yes.
So in as much as we have the conversation about the budget.
Yes.
And we are creating a story here, yeah, parallel between the household
and the nation.
And the, yeah, nation.
Yeah.
We need to understand that in our families, yeah, there is that outspoken teenager,
yes,
who's, right, going to come up and say, ah, dad. Yeah, yes, yes, you are our dad. We, yeah, know we have a limited income, yeah, and we've got these expenses. But you, dad,
yeah,
you like to go to Konka, yeah, and you like to buy brandy on, yeah, Friday, and you haven't stopped with all, absolutely, of these nice things, yes, that you are telling us about us having to tighten the belt.
You know it.
Could you please walk the talk? Yeah. Is there something of,
absolutely,
that nature?
Absolutely. And you know, now we are waiting for a cabinet reshuffle. We've got this new Ministry of Electricity. I think often the government sends exactly these contradicting messages, like the example of this outspoken teenager or young adult.
Yeah.
Because we know often what happens with new ministers, I mean, they get all these new cars, and they are quite expensive, the 7 Series, the Range Rovers. And people often say, I mean, it all adds up. We've got roads in our communities that need just potholes to be fixed, but you are not able to do that. So often there's mixed signals where the message is tighten up your belt, but often we don't see the government doing enough of that tightening of the belt.
So while the principles are there, yeah, Doc, while the idea that we have an income,
yeah,
and we have expenses, that's, yeah, the money that's going out, I imagine this conversation also speaks to the optics,
yeah,
how things look.
Correct.
If we are speaking a language of saying times are tough,
yeah,
you can't be looking like you, dad,
yeah,
you can't be looking like, you can't buy a new Range Rover,
yes,
with money we don't have in the house.
Exactly.
And then tell me times that I can't go, yeah, and get my techies, yeah, for the universe.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are.
Absolutely.
At the moment. How do I deal with that reality in the household?
And you know, it's so interesting, probably, bringing that, because you know, you've got the president, then you've got the National Treasury led by Minister of Finance, and they've all these rules they put in place. But you always have different cabinet ministers doing different things that often people see as signaling, not tightening the belt, right? And you drawing parallels with the household on that. And I think a major problem when we bring it to the household, and it's the same as a minister of finance saying, guys, this is what needs to be done, but ministry is not always listening, is that often because in a household, you may have the dad is running a part of the finances, this is what he's seeing, you know, the mom might be running part of the finance or the other half in the house, but these people don't have, they're not on the same page around what needs to be done, you know, around the fund. What are our priorities? So the government has told us, if you just look at the big amounts, they're telling us education, health, social development.
Electricity.
Yes, we have agreed. This is where we feel as the SA government, we need to put more money. And the question we're asking our listeners is, do you have that in your household? We're talking joint picture within the family, if there are two income earners, to say, here is what we have prioritized. Or the other one wants to drive the Range Rover. The other one is saying, tighten up. The other one is saying, no, the kid can get these 4,000, you know, Reebok shoes. The other one is saying, but no, we need to tighten the belt, guys. So often in the house, we see where there is not that open dialogue around finances and kind of agreeing what the priorities are. There's always arguments about money. They never get resolved. People sulk, for example. People then go, this partner purchases this, goes to Konka, does his thing, the other one. So you end up with a household. It's kind of functioning, but it's not united in trying to achieve goals that will kind of ensure the financial well-being of the household is looked after. And this is an attempt the government is trying. Transparency, this is where we want to spend money, hold us accountable. We need to reduce the debt because it's quite high now. In fact, the fastest growing item, and this is important for our listeners, Praob, the fastest growing item on the expense side of the South African government is the interest bill. It's growing at 9% a year. That's why we are now talking.
It's costing more per year to service our debt.
It's going by 9%, yeah, because we're getting more and more debt and, you know, interest rates going up. It means we need to service that more. And it's got a direct parallel to the household. Do you look and you say as a household, my goodness, I look at my mortgage loan. I look at my personal loan. I look at my credit card. I look at my car. Yo, the portion that is being consumed when I do the payments, when my net come, this number, it seems big. Like all commentators are saying, this is not sustainable. The South African government has to do something about it. You can't pay $360 billion a year on interest, and that's your fastest growing line. It's not education. It's not health. It's not fixing potholes. It's not electricity. It's an interest of the national debt that's growing the fastest. So in a household, you can also look and say, which one in my budget is growing the fastest and why? Can I explain it? Is it okay or I need to change course?
It's when the mashonisa is living well off
can
of this household. Eh?
Probably.
Yeah, this household is making the mashonisa very, very, healthy. Very rich. Yeah. Give us a call on 011-883-0702 as Dr. Frank Magwegwe breaks the budget down for us. Not only to understand the components of the budget as delivered by the Minister of Finance, but also, I suppose, the principles that can be understood for our own households. We have an item on our budget that is about what comes in, and we have an item of what goes out. How transparent are we as a family in discussing these finances? To what extent do we walk the talk such that there is a sense of solidarity, a sense of working together towards getting ourselves out of the problem? These are problems that are experienced both in the household and in the household called the Republic of South Africa.
Absolutely.
So I'm really hoping that you can be part of the conversation on 011-883-0702 as I speak to Dr. Frank Magwegwe, Head of Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank and Gibbs faculty member. Some calls coming through, Doc. Do you want to take the calls or is there a specific thing that you might want to...
Just want to mention one thing. And the one thing is, just as the government is... showing this transparency, this is what you want to do. But we must remember, this is a plan, Bra Obri, on paper. This is a plan, a budget. I plan to spend in these categories, right? And often we know what happens along the way. You don't know, life happens.
Yeah.
So I also just want to remind our listeners, we are in no way saying, you know, the government exactly sticks to, you know, what has been put on paper here. Things change and they, you know, change course somewhat. Do you also do that in the household? That's important. A budget is not a static thing.
Right. Let's take some calls. Oliver is in Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Oliver.
How's it going, team? How are you doing?
Yeah, man. Very good. Thanks. What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask about managing debt, because I think the things you're touching on at the beginning of the chat were more around managing your personal finances. Mm-hmm. And I think the way society is currently is you're gonna have to generate some form of debt. So
yeah.
I wanted to ask you how to manage that.
Excellent question, Oliver. Thank you. Doc?
In fact, it builds exactly on our conversation where commentators are saying you are at 18% of your revenue is going towards debt, servicing your debt. It's the SA Republic, the household of SA. We need to do the same as a household. And your starting point is to say, I look at my salary, my take-home pay. How much should I be using of that to service debt? And generally, as a rule of thumb, we say, you know, when you are approaching that 30%, in other words, you know, for every 100 rand, if 30 rand is going to personal loan, car loan, home loan, credit card, that might be quite high because you must still eat. You must still, you know, pay water, lights, school fees, varsity fees, clothes, and all that. So a rule of thumb that often helps is try not to get to that 30% just as a start. You draw a line in the sand that just says, if I'm thinking of buying a new car, the first thing I do is, how much debt do I already have, right? So that is when you are not at that level. If you are already close to that, in fact, many South Africans are above that. That's why a lot of people are struggling with debt repayment. You really need a plan to say, is there a side gig, a side hustle that can bring me extra money? And I use it to reduce debt.
Is there something that I can get rid of, reduce in terms of my lifestyle to bring me to a place where I don't have to pay so much in debt management?
You have to make those hard choices. You know, often items that people don't look at closely, but they do add up to easily, you know, 5,000 a year. It's things like gym memberships. I often sit with clients and we're going through their bank statement. And I just look and say, oh, I see a member of a gym, and I'm not here bashing gyms. They're wonderful. We need them. But I'm just talking, sitting in front of a client, I'm coaching. And I say, how many times do you go to the gym?
Go to the gym.
And they start
Because you look like Aubrey. You look like you haven't missed too many lunches.
And they giggle a little bit. I say, tell me. And then they say, Ish, I actually haven't been there in a while. I say, but they're deducting every month. You know, you've got to ask yourself, subscription to magazine. There are many things we don't use, but every month we are paying. That is why it's important to do what the government is doing.
I have a friend of mine who's got 5 funeral policies.
There's another example, right?
5.
That's a little bit excessive.
Yeah, 5.
And each one is administration costs associated with it. So you really need to stand back and say, do I need all this, or maybe I consolidate? So can you see, Braobre, just the importance of going into your finances regularly and just say, where is the money going?
And that's probably why at a household level, at an individual sort of financial space, when you are in trouble, you then need to speak to a debt counselor.
Yes.
For that person to help you look at where is it, a coach like yourself.
Correct.
Where is it that you may have to perhaps reconsider the spending of your money? Oh, I've just had the call dropped. And Tateng, if we can please get that call back. This person says, how do I manage my finances when my salary, my income, is from hand to mouth? Does not this reality really, or this reality then lead me to loan sharks, which in turn makes me spend more than my earnings? What do I do when I run out of transport money before I can get my paycheck? A real question.
And that's from so Thabo
in Fine Town. Yeah.
What a question, Thabo. And you talking, you know, the life of people who are not in, you know, regular employment that brings fixed 15th or 25th of the month. As 2 months, you do well. The next 2 months, you do nothing. There is no doubt that you are the person who mostly needs to look at your expenses, because the next 2 months you might have nothing. So when it comes, planning becomes absolutely critical. And if you've been doing it for a while, you can start sort of, you know, averaging to say, it looks like on average in 3 months, this is what I bring in. So when it comes, I just need to close my eyes, take a portion of it, put it aside, because I know the next 2 months or so, I might not have a gig that brings money. So your people who are not regular monthly earners, they need even more planning than someone who's getting money coming in regularly. And we see it with our, you know, celebrities who are acting, it dries up a little bit. And often you find that they're in problems in between gigs. Then the next big amount comes. So planning is even more important. And then we want to talk about choices. It's not that you are getting little that's coming in, you know, in those ad hoc, month two, month three. The important thing, plan well within that little. Because the last thing you want is to be unable to go to the next gig to earn money because, you know, you have overspent the little that you had. So planning is so important. And by the way, Braobre, I just want to remind you, listeners, when I talk planning, I used to earn 10 rand a month selling fruit and vegetables, corner plain and wondrous street downtown job.
Yeah, I remember that story.
I know quite a bit about just having wages of 50 rand a week and planning that.
Talk about
mustn't say, hey, that good doctor from Queens, he's earning big bucks, he's telling us about small money. No.
We must have that conversation about where we started. I used to sell milk in the train. I used to sell milk in the train. I used to run a spaza shop. So it's very, very important for people to understand that the conversation being had here isn't one being had by people who've never seen the bottom of the bottom.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So I think it's a very, very important observation. Lance on Twitter says, Braobs, all this money being borrowed from IMF just to pay people 350 rands, as grants, why don't they use that money to capacitate debt of public works and go easy on putting everything on open tender? Public works can't even paint road lines. And I suppose those are the conversations about prioritization, about fiscal policy.
Yes. And there, I'm just looking at the infographic that came out from National Treasury. 19.6 million people will be on social grants by March 2026. Currently, the 350 that was related to COVID, that COVID special social relief of distress grant will carry on until March next year, fixed at 350. All other grants have gone up by 5%. And I guess, Lance, the answer really lies in the government saying, you know, we've got these 17 million people who survive on the various forms of grants that we have to give them. They have no other income. And so we cannot thrive as a society if we've got 17 million people going to bed hungry. So the government is having to make that tough choices. Yes, that line has been growing, but aren't we going to have social unrest challenges, or even not necessarily worrying about unrest, just the sense of inequality, you know, some people struggling to put food in their mouth and some people doing very well in the same country. So I guess the government is making the choice that I'm trying to balance that, and therefore these 17 people qualify for all these state old age grant, war veterans grant, disability grant, foster care grant, a child support grant. That's the only form of income, and I am making a choice to pay it.
I must say to you that my heart was warmed a little bit, albeit, of course, there's always an argument about, is this enough?
And is it sustainable?
Is it sustainable? Yeah. But it was good to hear that Abokoko, the senior citizens, are getting some sort of an increase from government as far as their grant is
concerned. 5%, yes.
Yeah, I always feel like they are an afterthought.
And it's so little what they get as well.
But I can tell you now, if there's anybody that is appreciative, it is that
them. Correct,
You're not going to see them screaming at us. They will be more appreciative than they were last year.
Yeah.
And it's always, for me, quite a difficult thing.
And you know what, brother, I'm just thinking about Lance's question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you there. I'm thinking, often we want to look at the government, right? And we say the government does things that don't make sense, like all this money going for social grants. But when you look at households, I mean, you've got a person, and in fact, I've got a friend who's got, you know, an okay townhouse out there in Randburg, but his car costs double his townhouse. There is a choice a person made. And I said to him, Gani, man, you're going to Galanda. He says, Magwek, people see what I drive. They don't see my house.
Yes, yes.
So we often think the government is making crazy choices, like what Lance, I'm not saying Lance is saying that, but he's kind of questioning the big amount for social priorities. Yeah. Human beings do it. There is someone who is in a almost 3 million rand car. And his town is about worth 1.2 million.
A car for 3 million?
Yes, bro. Okay. 3 million. Choices.
Yeah, choices. Right? There's a question that I've been trying to formulate in my mind about the idea of the choices we make and what informs them.
Yeah.
And the subsequent expectations that follow those choices. Yeah. So, for example, I decide to buy a 3 million rand house while I still stay elderly.
Yeah.
And I sleep in the kitchen of my mother's house. Yeah. But I drive a 3 million rand house.
A car. Yeah.
Huh? If my argument is going to be based on what I expect my life or how my life should unfold, having made those choices.
Yeah.
It might be an unfair argument, given the fact that we've got more than one child in this house.
Yeah, very true.
Who have different needs.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think that we think that the louder the protest, the louder the voice of one of the children in this house, the more correct that child is.
Correct,
If I were to say that the elderly, as a sector in South Africa, are one of the children of this house.
Correct.
If I were to say that the
the infirm are one of the children of this household. But maybe there is another child in this house who makes a bigger noise.
Correct.
Based on the choices that they've made.
Yeah.
And the expectations that follow those choices.
Yeah.
We may find that the parent's job is actually harder than we are. We appreciate.
Correct.
Sure, the parent is the parent, and the buck stops with them.
Yeah.
And we owe him, or he owes us accountability.
Yes.
But sometimes we need to also look around and say, hey, what choices have some of my brothers in this household made?
Yeah.
And to what extent are their choices now making the whole household have to follow their particular expectations? Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And in fact, you know, you're reminding me, Bra Aubrey, because you're saying, where are these choices coming from? And again, you know, if you get on with our theme here and say we look at how the choices the government made, and they've made their choices loud and clear with this budget. And where does that come from? You know, that is, it comes from kind of how the ANC operates, we a development of our state, and you know, all those philosophies that that kind of govern their choices. If we bring it to the household, and we spoke about it last year, the biggest driver of the choices we make with our money as a house, it's your money personality, it's your relationship with money. It's driven often unconsciously. What does money represent?
Mm-hmm.
So the ideology of a developmental state is very much similar to someone saying, my money personality is, money means status.
Right.
Fang babo neguta, I'm doing well. Money means power.
They must know.
Yes, money means giving. Money means security.
Yes.
So it's you can see those parallels that how we think about money in the household is driven by this underlying mindset. What money means to us, what does it represent? The very same is happening when a government, where development or state, we put money here, we put money there. And so it is important when we question, how does the SA Inc. allocate money as this? Lance's question. This is too much, you know, for grants.
Yeah.
The same we need to do in our house and say, the question earlier, for debt, maybe this is too much. What is driving what I'm doing with my money? And that's a powerful thing. You know, which is called a money person, your relationship with money. It's really important for households and individuals to understand. Because sometimes it's subtle. You're not aware of it, but it's operating and it's driving those things that you're doing.
As we close, we have tried to draw parallels between the state of the nation budget and the household budget. Is that a fair comparison?
I think so. The principles, as we have seen, Bra Aubrey, income coming in, expenses, if it's not enough, I borrow. Exactly as we see in households, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this SA Inc., we've got a problem. The debt is too high now, leading to 360 billion a year in interest payments or servicing the debt. South Africans, right now, as we see it, we only need to look at the data from the National Credit Regulator. Exactly the same. The majority of South Africans are indebted. They are behind payments, 18 million of them. 1 to 3 months. In other words, I owe someone, I'm struggling to pay them back. Why? Because they've taken on too much debt. A parallel that we are seeing from, you know, from what commentators are saying, the government must reduce debt. Households must also reduce debt if it is so much that you are now struggling. So really, other than the size of the numbers, from principal's perspective, it's really fair comparison to say, this is what the government does. It's transportable to the household. The ideology underpinning the spending is this. It's equivalent to kind of a mindset, a relationship with money in the house.
Suppose you can't outvote your father.
Exactly.
You can't say,
you
Dad, we've decided that you are no longer dad.
Yeah, no. We caucused.
But I hear you, Dr. Magwegwe. I'm looking forward to next week's conversation.
Because there's very interesting, we didn't get to it, tax information that came out of the budget on retirement, retirement annuities, and income tax that we can.
And if you buy a solar, you get money back.
Absolutely. So if you buy solar, there's a rebate that's coming through.
Are we going to talk about some of that next week?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Dr. Frank Makwege, my guest this evening on financial matters, head of financial wellness and advisory at Nedbank. Is also a Gibbs faculty member. How do people get in touch with you?
FrankMakwege.com. And I say a lot of emails are coming through from there, and just hit that contact me button. And I promise you, the listeners will tell you, I always try to respond as quickly as I can to your queries. And this prescription for today, please look at your budget. We only in March next week. You still have 9 months of the year to understand what's coming in, what's going out, and what size is the gap.